Hi, and welcome to the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
And my name is Matt Bertram. I'm the lead strategist at EWR Digital.
Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. This is, well, our numbering of our podcast. This may be approximately 543. We're going to get that sorted out. And this is part two. So we want to ask you to go back and listen to part one. What we are covering is Lauren Baker's article, 12 Essential On-Page SEO Factors You Need to Know. We actually covered 1 through 6. Let me just kind of briefly just give you the titles of them. 1 was EAT, right? 2 was keywords. 3 was SEO writing. 4 was visual assets. And then in the category of HTML, because he's got these broken down in different categories, number 5 was title tags. Number 6 is meta description. And number 7 is image optimization. But before we get to number 7, we have some nice words from our sponsor. This is from SE Ranking. And they want you, and we want you actually, to go check out their on-page checker. It's in beta. Matt showed it on the last podcast. So if you're on YouTube, you can go back and kind of see a screenshot of that. And we have a special discount for you best SEO podcasters out there, listeners out there. Things that you can look at and that are defined in this on-page checker. Of course, an overall score. So you select the page, you select the keyword, it gives you that overall score. Next, the page experience, and that's where it's looking at things like page speed, maybe the bump, like if it moves around when that page is loading. And I think there's a very technical term for that, which has escaped me at this point. And if you know that, you can certainly add it.
What we typically set up is like lazy loading.
Are you talking about server-side
optimization?
Or I'm talking about the shift, right?
So where it moves on the page. Yeah. Google hates that.
Hate is the correct word, actually. Next, you can look at content. Maybe you need more keywords in the content. Maybe you need just more content. You can look at the media. When we were looking at one particular page, it was showing that some images were in undesirable formats. So you want to visit that. The URL, is the keyword in it? Yes or no? That's pretty straightforward. And then usability overall, those are things like the favicon. Are there canonical tags? And the best part is you can actually compare how your page checks versus how your competitor's page checks. There's a way to do that. Oh, wait, there's a best part. You can map out tasks as a checklist. This is kind of like enterprise level stuff. You got multiple people working on a particular project. Users can tag, group, and leave comments for convenient data organization. You're probably interested in what is the special? Like, how do I start trying this? Typically you can get a 14-day trial, just go to their homepage, no big deal. But if you're interested in extending that 14-day trial to a 30-day trial, then you need to use this link. It's bestseopodcast.com/SE ranking. And that will take you directly to the SERanking.com page that gives you that 30-day opportunity over the 14-day trial.
So Chris, I want to like give my honest review of this platform, and basically I love it. Okay. I really love it. And, I'm actually going to train our team on it, and we're going to start using this as one of our primary tools, going forward. And that's no BS. Like, I think it's a great tool. I love all the different comparison options on the, on-page checker. It's kind of cool. It gives you a little bit of a graph on how well you're doing. And then that comparison versus the competitors. And certainly if you set up a project, you have multiple people in there and you can see what's happening and make notes. And the project function on a lot of these tools is quite great. But you can see search traffic, right? You can see competitor sites that you're similar to. You can track the average ranking of keywords over time. Right. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I personally was looking for in a tool is not what is the ranking now, but what is the ranking now? What was it last week, the week before, whatever, to be able to show that progress and to build those reports. And so this tool buys enterprise level data. It's updated daily. It's got great search functionality. It's got a great UX. I really like it. And I've been using a lot more in the beginning. because, you know, everything was in a different place, looked a little bit different, took a little bit longer. And that's why a 30-day trial is important, because I think like a 7-day trial or a 3-day trial, it's not even really a trial because you don't have time to like try to engage in it, right? And so when I started using this tool, I had to like fight myself. I actually had to fight myself to use it in the beginning because I was so comfortable with other tools. I said, ah, I really want to try this. And so I did that. And by the time, you know, I think 30 days is the right amount to, if you're really going to try something and engage in it. And also, you know, I don't love trials where they give you like a little bit of access.
Oh yeah.
You know, they don't, so you don't get to understand the full capabilities of the tool. I like, hey, here, you can try the tool out. Here's some of the things we're doing. Here's the stuff in beta. You can see what's going on. If you like the tool, let's exchange value for money, right? And I think that these guys do a great job. It also helps support Ukraine. I would really recommend SEO Ranking, Honest Penny. So
bestseoPodcast.com/SE Ranking will get you to that 30-day deal. All right, let's jump into this article as well. You know, before we jump into the article, we are going to ask you to do one small thing other than go try SE Ranking. We're going to ask you to leave us a review. We haven't seen a review in a little while. If you could, go to ewrdigital.com/review, and that will take you directly to our GMB
page. We have seen a review. We got a BBB review, and Mike Ogg.
We read that one.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, but that was a great review on the Business Bureau.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that now home, like the home mortgage industry, who knows like where it's going to be in, well, you know, another month. I think the deal flow from what I hear from my private equity buddies up in New York is it's pretty quiet right now. Mm. So I don't know where home mortgages are going, but I thought we've done a really great job for him growing, expanding his business, going into multiple locations. And we do need to get some more reviews. We've got a bunch of great clients that just need to hit them up for a review, but also for the podcast. If you listen to the podcast, we ask you to go leave a review. We've set up social media handles across the board to really differentiate EWR, Best SEO Podcast. We're actually building a team for the Best SEO Podcast. If you're out there and you love podcasting or editing or something like that, we have Co-Hosta, right? And now we're going to build Best SEO Podcast. And so we're looking to hire people for that. Also the agency, we're looking for people as well. We all are working remote, even though we do have an office. And if you're good at digital marketing and, well, speaking good English, I think is one of the like key fundamental things that we're looking for. So English first language. If you're listening to this, we have a lot of global listeners. So, but if you speak well, good English and you know how to do digital marketing, check us out. We'd love to talk to you. But we're also building up the podcast and we're looking for people there. So.
Oh, excellent. Let's jump into this. Patif to Lauren Baker. We've had him on actually interviewed him on the podcast before. Let's start at number 7. So this is in the category. He's broken up into categories of HTML. The previous two in HTML category were title tags, meta description. Again, go check out the previous podcast. We cover those. Regarding image optimization, we already briefly touched on the importance of visual assets on your page, but now it's time to look more closely at their technical aspects. Here are some tips. Include SEO-friendly alt tags, right? Your target keyword should be in your alt tags. Choose the right format and file size for fast loading. Customize file names instead of using something like img_08759. By the way, I did a Google search on that just because I thought it would be interesting and it was a bunch of random stuff. And of course, this article, the images from this article came up. Ensure your images are mobile friendly. That almost goes without saying. And we'll talk a little bit more about mobile coming up. I don't know if you've got anything to add about image optimization.
Yeah, I do. Image optimization. What I would tell you is image optimization really works well as far as image SEO goes right now. Optimizing images in the correct format, the load times, really important from a speed standpoint. I think the number one thing I see on sites is that the wrong images or too large of images are uploaded to the site, and that's what's slowing down the site. So I would say if I looked at 10 sites, 7 of them would have images uploaded improperly or the wrong format or not above the fold. Images are really, really important for engagement. Also custom images. I would say that try to stay away from stock art or try to move away from stock art. That's why we started a videography team a couple of years ago. We're award-winning in that regard. We're also building custom images for our blogs, and we've seen those images rank a lot better. If you think about it, you got this blog over here with awesome content. You got this blog over here with awesome content. You got this blog over here with custom images that no one's seen before that are unique and engaging. And then over here, you got stock images that people have seen maybe multiple times on other sites. Which one is going to give a better perception, more high-end perception, as well as engage someone longer? So infographics, great way to take some content, to put it together, to keep people engaged on a page. And so we've certainly seen that on the blog posting side of things is how images and SEO go together. They're, you know, image SEO, right? So yeah. Use alt tags. But yeah, I would say images are really important.
Yeah, a lot of image titles, searches are happening now. Mm-hmm. All right. So 8 is, and Lauren calls it geotagging for local search. We might just call local optimization, local SEO. It may be a global economy, but most business is still done at the local level. There are 3 main SEO tactics to consider when focusing on local traffic. One is optimizing local listings and citations, including name, address, and phone number. We always call that NAP. Website URL and business descriptions using third-party apps and getting reviews. Reviews certainly very valuable. And when you're doing Google local listings or local listings in general, you do really want to make sure your NAP is exact, right? So the address on every one of these local sites where you get the citation is exactly the same. You want that continuity. So next is optimizing your local content, including accommodating for near me searches. And then finally, optimizing and building links with other local businesses and organizations. Include the name of your target location in your keywords and put them in your content wherever they fit. Anything else to talk about in terms of what Lauren calls geotagging?
I think that local SEO, we've like beaten that dead horse. Like, so I think that local SEO, based on where that map falls on the page, is taking more and more search traffic away from national SEO. And so certainly it depends on what type of searching people are doing of what they're looking for, whether it be a local business, like maybe a restaurant, right? Versus maybe a roofing company. Maybe you're not going to search Google and you're going to see it in the maps and you're going to like just click on it and you're going to buy it. But emergency plumber or plumbing company near me or something like that. It depends what the search is and how that person finds it, right? And if people need something quick or they need something close by, apps are great and they show up higher on the page. If people are really doing their research when they're going to buy a big ticket item, they still do significantly, I think it's like 30 searches or something like that before someone on average buys. And so, but man, local can be a huge difference and you got to get in that 3-pack. And there's actually a lot more things that you can do. We actually have a service that focuses on that. And we're really good at like brick and mortar businesses, but NAP citations, certainly ranking for those near me terms, uploading the images, building links, making sure that like filling out the products, filling out the services, filling out the times, all those things make a difference, right? Because if you say that you're not open, right? And I actually, we have a chiropractor that's open on Saturdays, okay? And he has a lot of people coming on Saturdays, but he doesn't want it open on his GMB. Well, why is that? Well, he said, I don't want people coming in, new customers coming in. On Saturday, I want to have a bunch of people come in and be able to knock them out quickly or crack their backs quickly. I don't know what the right word is, but adjust them quickly. Yeah. And so he's open every Saturday, but it's not showing on his GNB. Well, he doesn't show up when he's closed, right? But also, if he's not at his office, Google's not going to show him. So there's just so many different factors to start ranking on the GNB side. And it's actually a different platform. That would be the last thing I'd say. It's actually a different platform. It's a whole separate search engine that's wrapped together with national search. And you should be treating it as such. So the algorithm is very similar, but it's different. It's not the same algorithm. And there's things that you should do for your GNB that you wouldn't do for national search. There's certainly a lot of overlay, but it is a different platform. And you should remember that when you're doing SEO for it. So,
all right. I'm going to give a pro tip for those of you who are listening. Ooh,
I want a pro tip.
On YouTube. Matt started this section saying, talking about beating a dead horse as it relates to Google Local, right? And to my recollection, we really haven't had a podcast on Google Local in quite some time. So what you should infer is that at the team at EWR Digital, Matt is talking about Google Local regularly to the point he considers it beating a dead horse, because that's how valuable it is. So that's just the pro tip.
I've been writing a lot of articles about GNB. I guess I've been focused on it quite a bit, and we're doing a lot of multi-location SEO. We have like something like 200 GNB local accounts. So it's like right now, yeah, I guess I am talking about a lot.
I think this is the behind the scenes, like pay attention. This would be a great time to pay attention. All right. So next, the next section is a website architecture. Having a well-structured website is important. First, a website laid out in a logical manner will be crawled more effectively by search engines. Secondly, it will create richer user experiences. And we are always talking about, as long as you provide a great experience to the Google user, Google will look favorably upon you. So his first one in here, so this is point number 9, is site speed. A clunky, slow-loading site does more than frustrate and drive away visitors. It actually hurts your search ranking too. He mentioned a search engine journal where they took a deep dive, confirming that load time has an impact on SEO. You know, what minimum speed your site needs to meet is constantly changing. It can currently be met by meeting Google Core Web Vitals minimum threshold. There are several steps you can take in meeting that threshold. One is enabling compression. Two is reducing redirects. Three is, and we mention it again, optimizing images, and then finally leveraging browser cache. Now, with browser cache, that kind of automatically makes me think about CDN, content delivery networks. Those are pretty easy to integrate. If you're on WordPress, it's almost trivial. That's another way that you can help your page speed, and that's really important.
You know, it's funny, Chris, when you know, the title's website architecture. And when I think website architecture, I really think about the navigation, the sitemap, how it's all structured, not thinking as much about, well, the tech stack and how everything fits together. Now, I have seen a number of websites recently that people are putting multiple builders on the site. There was actually a site that was using a plugin to customize the font on every page on the site, like a custom font. Wow. So think about how long that takes to load. Every single piece of text is a custom font that's run through a script of a plugin on a site to make it look a certain way. I was like, I understand that this looks good, but it takes 26 seconds to load your site.
Wow.
And there's really nothing very heavy on it. We got to get rid of this plugin. I need you to find in your brand guide or something like a font that is acceptable, but we should not be using a plugin to write all font.
Yeah. That sounds like a disaster, a very slow disaster. All right. So next, this is number 10, is responsive design. Mobile now accounts for more than 56% of all internet usage, with tablets contributing another 2.4%. Google followed the logical path and began to prioritize sites with responsive designs and mobile search rankings. That was their mobile first initiative. Google strongly recommends sites have a mobile version. So what should you do? You should have a responsive design. I don't know if there's much more to say about that.
Well, you know, one of the big things that I'm seeing too is when you're designing sites, you know, there was the .m, right? That was a big deal for a long time, but now yep. everything's a lot more responsive. But also you have a lot of different size monitors now. You got curved large monitors, different angle size monitors, you got tablets, all that sort of thing. But also people are designing things for different sized monitors. And what's happening on the SEO side of it, you need to pay attention, is it creates multiple headers, right? And it creates multiple images that have to be loaded, which slow down the site. So it's really better to design mobile first, and also using a responsive design that you're not customizing certain sections too much, or it's going to slow down the site quite a bit.
Yep. Get that responsive design done properly. Next, number 11 is URL structure. There was a time way back when URLs played a large role in SEO, but Google, doing what it does, changed the algorithm. And what was once so important to rankings now plays a much smaller role. However, there is evidence they play a role in a site's initial ranking, and some professionals believe they're used to group pages. What that means is that while they shouldn't be your top SEO priority, you don't want to ignore them. Again, that's URL structure, using your keywords in that URL structure. He's kind of referring to the days of yore where the actual top domain had a significant impact on placing for a particular keyword.
Well, I certainly think site architecture or website architecture does still play a significant role.
Yeah.
I think in the anchors, right, I'm not sure if it's anything till the very last part, right? The very last subfolder still does make a difference, in my opinion, from what I've seen. And really, if you're using fancy folder organization of services or locations or products or whatever, and you're calling it like fancy stuff, Google doesn't really know what it is. And if Google can't trust it, if it's not creating those signals that are easy to understand, it's going to not want to rank it as much if there's something out there that has more trust. So actually, the simpler you can get, knowing that it's an algorithm that it can group these things together, and you know, oh, here's press, or here's services, or here's locations, it's going to be way easier. If you call it something else, Google's not always going to know. So I think they even have a set of keywords of service areas, locations, like all the kind of similar terms that it groups together, because it's trying to grab and understand what's going on with the sitemap. And you really want to think about a balanced sitemap. And if you're going to do one thing over here, do the same thing over here. So I actually had a website today of a new client we onboarded. And in one area, it was going after commercial and residential, right? So it was a drop down. It was like commercial or residential commercial, right? And under a service section category. Well, then next, it had service and residential as two separate areas, and then it had drop downs in each of those. So from a content organization standpoint, it was like you organize it this way over here, but then you organize it a completely different way over here. I'm not saying that that's necessarily bad, but if you're thinking about how to lay out a site structure where it's simple to understand, it's easy to crawl, and everything is relatable to each other, you want to use the same logic throughout the site. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so that's where things are nested under what from a URL structure, and certainly things that are right off the direct domain are going to rank higher, but you probably want to put, for example, like blogs, you probably want to put them in a blog subfolder, so Google knows that those are blogs, because if they're tied directly to the main URL and you have all these different blog titles, Google's going to be like, what is this website about? I don't even understand. And so I think, yes, grouping information is incredibly important, but if you're not grouping information important, you're making Google work harder. And if Google's working harder and it doesn't really understand what you're doing, it's not going to rank you as well, because it doesn't have as much trust into what you're doing. So while I think it doesn't, the keywords being in maybe the whole anchor is not as important, how it's laid out certainly is.
The whole URL. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So we that brings us to number 12. Again, 12 essential on-page SEO factors you need to know by Lauren Baker. The final one is links. Remember EAT from way back at the beginning of this article, which would be the last podcast. Go check it out. One of the best ways your website can establish
expertise, authoritativeness, and trust.
Yes, is through links from other reputable websites. There are three main types you need to know about for SEO. Internal links. And I think we did a podcast. If it wasn't entirely on internal links, it was like three quarters on internal links. The beauty of internal links, it is the thing that you have 100% control of. So make sure you do it right and do it right. You don't have to depend on getting a link back. You also have control in internal links or on page links. You've got control of the next one, which is outbound links. So internal links, anything that links to a page inside of yours, outbound, anything that links from your website out to another page. It's also known as external links. These are the links that point to a site on a different domain, like this one pointing to Google SEO page. He had a link in his article pointing to the Google SEO page. And then finally so we got internal links, outbound links, and finally inbound links, sometimes called backlinks. These are links from other websites pointing to your page. Of the three, inbound links are by far the most important, right? You have the most control over the internal links, but the inbound links are by far the most important. They provide the biggest SEO benefit. But beware, not all inbound links are helpful. Some, especially those coming from link farms or forum posts and guest books, can be fake links intended to cheat the ranking system. If you don't disavow these, they can actually tank your rankings. So that's links.
Well, so let me, I have a lot to say on links. I don't know how much I'm going to say on this podcast, but I have a lot to say about links. What I would say is we actually should do a podcast next on AI automation, okay, on these writing tools. AI is becoming, in every aspect, is becoming more involved in, well, every industry, including SEO. AI writing tools are really hot right now. I think probably people want to know a lot about what's going on with those. So I think we should do that. But what I'm telling you is people are using AI to write all these tools, and they're pretty good, okay? And Google's not able to tell the difference just quite yet of AI writing tools versus human writing tools, and it's trying to figure it out. And what I'm starting to see in some like mastermind groups and forum groups and stuff like that is this writing so good that Google's now starting to throw its hands up and say, like, we need to go back to like inbound links of value, right? And that's how the whole core algorithm was initially built. They're really heavily leaning more towards content here recently and UX and stuff. And links have kind of taken a back seat, but that's how was how the algorithm was built. That's how Google like made itself Google. That was the difference, right?
PageRank,
right? And so, well, you know, that's changed a little bit, but what I'll tell you is I think they're going back to it. They're going back to the tried and true. And this is that pendulum that always swings. Outbound links are really important. You want to build kind of a bow tie of linking to other high authority stuff. And then you want high authority stuff to link to you. And that's going to look natural. You don't want weird links from weird places come to you, all these kind of spammy links. You can use tools like SE Ranking to see all the different backlinks. There's actually a backlink report that you can run. And your backlinks need to be relevant to you. And a lot of people are using these like parasite links and a lot of like black hat stuff off of like blogspot.com, or there's a lot of different ways to do it, but it's not working. SEO, I talked to a couple of people that know that SEO algorithm really, really well the other night. And it was interesting. It was like, yeah, there's no free lunch anymore. Like, you just have to do good work.
Yeah.
And some people have resorted back to doing black hat stuff because they can't even rank, because the amount of work that you have to do to rank properly is, you have to have a massive team. Like, we have a massive team. It takes like a whole village to do SEO right. But outbound links, you don't want to give away too much link juice. Inbound links, absolutely. You want to get those. There's a lot of things that you can do that. Even PR is something that we're doing a lot more of that is super important. But I have ranked sites, and I believe you can still rank sites with quality content organized properly and using internal links, because you can create enough signals that, again, if you get good customer, like customer journey or UX UI, basically, if people are taking the positive actions when they come to the site and they're doing the things you want to do, and you've thought through some of those things, you don't need as much trust from other sources, right? Because the data is the data, and it's really about how the customer interacts with their site when you get there. And if a lot of people are all in the same like threshold or category, you need a tiebreaker or a vote breaker, and that's that external link. But if you can just stand out above the rest on the user experience, and you have great dwell time, and people are taking actions, and they're not clicking backwards, and the user experience is good from the site load, all things that you can control, you're labeling the anchors to link to things that make sense. You don't want to use your link equity spraying it all over the place. There's a lot of things that you can do just in what you can control to rank sites, especially in minimally competitive sites, but even in really, really competitive sites. If your on-page data, as far as what that user does, is so much far better than anyone else, Google's going to rank you because it always wants to show the best results possible to that question. And so if you put a lot of thought into content and to where it's laid out and how it's all connected, you know, and then there's other people, right? And I see it, and I can see like in footprints, just people are jamming like millions, thousands, if not millions of links to sites and just trying to overpower it. And I guess it's a quantity versus quality, because there's a lot of really high quality placement links that you can get, and you can craft a really nice link profile without having links from everywhere under the sun from, I'll just stop there. So
links, very important. And that wraps up the 12 essential on-page SEO factors. At the end of the day, search engine optimization boils down to one thing: finding the best way to provide valuable information to searchers and ensuring your website is at the top of the search, SERPs, search engine results pages. Start with what you can control, carefully evaluating your current site for weaknesses and opportunities for growth. Just remember, SEO, like Tetris, is never done, but keep reading, keep working, and you'll get the results you deserve. And I'm going to add to that: keep reading and keep working, keep listening to the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing, and you'll continue to find value here. We're just happy to be giving back to the SEO and internet marketing community, and that's given so much to us. Anything to wrap it up, Matt?
Well, I think definitely remember, we're sponsored by SE Ranking, and yep, go check it out. SE Ranking has put together a special offer for us. So bestseopodcast.com/SE Ranking. And you'll go there, you'll see our little cover of our podcast, and you'll get that free 30-day offer. I would really encourage you to do it. I know some of the other tools out there are not updating. Maybe their keywords, like they're pulling their data not as regularly. There's a lot of new innovation that's coming into the space, and a lot of building that's being done. And so if you're frustrated with any other tools that are out there, I would encourage you to go check out SE Ranking, because it does do a lot of really cool stuff, and it's really on top of what's happening in the industry. So check them out.
Also, if you're interested in growing your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet,
the internet,
call AWR Digital for increased revenue in your business. Our phone number is 713-592-6724. We'll be happy to get an internet marketing expert on the phone with you, deliver value from the very first point all the way through as you continue to be a long-term customer.
And I would say, if you just go there and set up a consultation, actually get it on the calendar, calling in right away. We certainly do have people manning the phones, but I would say get something on the calendar, put your website in there. That will give people a little bit more time to understand what's happening and can provide more value to. We do want to provide value in every call. and get a good discovery call with us. Check it out. If you want some consulting, if you like what you're hearing, SEOpodcast.com does have a one-on-one consulting option where you'll get me or someone on my team and you'll get an hour of our time and you can go check it out. It's paid consulting. But if you have that burning SEO question that is specific to you and you want to get that answer, send it in to us or go sign up for some free some paid consulting. This is your free consulting. This is one of the value away. I'm going to do like a mastermind, I think, Chris. People have been asking me to do that. Bring people in for a day, maybe use our office, a nice office, bring people in, go through some of the SEO case studies we've had, really lay out where the industry is, what's happening, what's working, maybe problem solve for people with specific issues. I think it would be cool. We used to do some of that kind of stuff before COVID. I'd love to get that going again. So
get people back in the room again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to thank you. Thank you guys for making us the most popular SEO podcast, one of the most popular internet marketing podcasts in the known universe. That is because of you. Thank you. We will ask you to do one last thing. Share this podcast with three people that you would think would be interested in. Maybe it's a business owner. Maybe it's a fellow SEOer. Maybe it's just that geeky neighbor who likes to hear stuff about marketing. Please share that. And until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.